Today is, as Alex told us, is Trinity Sunday, and so happy Trinity Sunday. It truly is a happy Trinity Sunday because we have God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit to bless us, and what a wonderful thought that is. There's been many different things happening in the world around us. One of the things that actually helps us today to appreciate God, I think, was the attention paid to the passing of a rock and roller. His name was Brian Wilson. Do you know the group that he was in? The Beach Boys. Yeah, he was the founder, and with his brothers, and they brought a lot of joy to people singing these songs that really were so fun, and speak about the beach. Talk about the beach, you know. They were really quite exquisite. But he also was known not just as someone who wrote rock and roll songs, but he wrote songs that inspired great people like Paul McCartney from the Beatles and others who looked at them as a genius. He was looked at like a genius. And the thing is about his music, it came from a troubled soul. He was very depressed during his lifetime and spent many hours alone in his room, and he wrote songs about that as well. But he was a depressed person, and yet out of his heart flowed all of these incredibly cheerful songs. One of them, the best ones, was God Only Knows How Much I Love You, right? And it was just a very special kind of a person, and his music is very special. But one thing that got my attention, I wanted to share with you, was one of his band members, and this was before he passed away. I was watching a documentary about him, and this band member was asked the question, so what was it like when you met Brian Wilson? You know, he wasn't in the family, he was one of the band members, and they said, what was it like to be in a band like the Beach Boys? And the guy said, oh man, it was like I hit the jackpot. You know, and what he meant was he was so fortunate in his life that he met him, because this guy was a genius and he had so much to say and so much to put into his music. So he just was, you know, thinking, how come I get to do this with this great person and this great composer and be around all of this? And then his career took off and, you know, they became world famous. But I was thinking about that today, you know. I mean, I know it's not a typically biblical kind of language, but didn't we hit the jackpot when we were saved by Jesus Christ? When someone came to us and introduced Jesus to us, not only Jesus, but God the Father, it just keeps getting better, right? Not just Jesus, but his Father, the Father who created us, and then also the Holy Spirit. So I feel really good today. Do you feel good today? I mean, there's a lot going on in the world that is sad, right? But we know God the Father, and we know Jesus the Son, and we know the Holy Spirit. And we just heard these words, that the Holy Spirit pours into our hearts this love from the Father. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, does it? You know, and the thing is, it doesn't stop when we face things in our lives. It keeps coming, and it pursues us and compels us and lives in us, imbibes us with the Spirit of God, with the power of God's love. You remember we had this verse last week? I hope you do. This was part of the sermon last week, but it's part of our lectionary reading today too, and it's just, you know, it's worth having this verse again and maybe in the future again. But I hope that all of you will take it to heart, and wherever you are today, that you will be lifted up by this thought that you have it made in the shade, because God is your God. He's your Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you are deeply loved. You know, sometimes it's also Father's Day, and Father's Day, you know, comes with a mixed bag of different feelings for people. You may be feeling sad today, because it's Father's Day. Perhaps you've lost your father recently, or perhaps something happened in your life that caused you some pain. Perhaps you had a difficulty with your father. There are some of us who have had, I would imagine that all of us had at least some kind of a problem at some point, because we are people, you know, and we're children who rebel against our parents, and there's different things that come into that whole relationship like that. But God really wants us to feel good about fathers, right? And he is not just saying, you can depend on yourself. He's saying, I am here to pour my love into your heart through my Holy Spirit, so that no matter where you are in terms of your relationship with your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, anyone else like that, I am here to love you. And my love overcomes all things and also supports those things that you feel inside that are good, right? And so it's all encompassing. It isn't just steady and non-stopping, but it's all encompassing. And there's no place on earth that can escape the love of God coming to the hearts of the people who live there. Do you believe that today? God wants you to know that you have it made. You have great reason for rejoicing today. And you may not be aware of it, but he loves you deeply. And he's going to continue to tell you that throughout your life. And you can depend upon it. I was praying for someone yesterday, and the Lord was leading me to pray that his love is enduring and steadfast and dependable. And that word dependable kept coming up in my mind also for the ESL class this past Friday, that God's love is dependable. It's nonstop. You can always depend upon that. And so in the place that you are, whether it's in regard to your father or your mother or your relationships or perhaps something else that you're going through today, God is here to tell you through his word that he loves you and he sent his son to die for your sins so that you would be free from death and all of your sins are washed away and you have a new birth and you're reborn and given new life. It's an amazing thing. Trinity Sunday, you know, brings up this concept of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it's an amazing thing that it has caused so many people distress thinking, how could that be possible? But actually, when we read through the Bible, it becomes a thing of beauty. It's not something that is difficult, because God is not into causing us difficulty. Right? He doesn't come into your life to say, these deep things are really, you know, beyond you, and you're never going to understand me. He comes to us and he says, these things may be difficult for human beings to understand, but I have come in my Holy Spirit to make them clear, to reveal myself to mankind. Because I am, just like Alex was saying, I am in relationship with you. And that's a beautiful thing to do, right? To be in relationship. And that is what we were born into through the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. All three persons of God were present at the creation of the universe and the creation of mankind. Jesus didn't just come into being when he came to earth. He always was and he always will be. And those are the kind of things that people start thinking, I can't understand that. But there isn't really a good defense of that when we think about what God has done to make it clear to us. He sent his son into the world to die for us, to show us that he wanted to relate to our problems, that he wanted to relate to the things that we go through, the sorrows that we experience in our lives, so that he would show us that we are talking to a living and understanding God. Right? One of the things that we've learned recently is through the Spirit of God, we learn wisdom, right? Wisdom and revelation to understand who God is, to understand things that we don't understand. And so wherever you are today, you can depend upon God helping you to find understanding in your life. And the way that it comes through the love of God, is life-changing occurrences. Taking things that are broken and that seemingly have no resolution and bringing fullness of healing, completeness of his love. It's amazing, isn't it, that the waves were responding, that Isaiah was saying, if you had only listened to me, if you had only listened to me, says the Lord, you would be seeing these waves of my righteousness coming into your life. Did you? It's the first time I ever saw it like that. Like the righteousness of God being compared to waves, and then it's this wave of taking away sin. The waves, constant. It's the righteousness of God coming in more and more into your life. Are you struggling with a sin in your life? All of us struggle with sin at some point, right? There may be one thing that you feel like, oh, I can't get over this. This is just really a thorn in my side, and I just feel so bad about myself. And God is saying, I don't want you to think that way, son. I don't want you to think that way, daughter. I am here to tell you that I will give you the strength through my great love and the righteousness that I possess to overcome any kind of a difficulty that you have in your life, to make right whatever relationship you're in that is having difficulties now. And we need to encourage each other in that, in the body of Christ. Right? There's no dead end. Have you been to a dead end? I've driven in my car and thinking I'm going to go through and, oh, I've hit a dead end. You know, I've got to turn around and go the other way. But that's exactly what God does. We may feel that we face this dead end and we've come to this cul-de-sac and we're like, oh, wow, we have to go back. And you're like, oh, why did I do that? And God is saying, I'm going to show you the way. I'm your guide. We've been learning that too lately. I'm your guide through life. And I know the way that you should go. And so pay attention to me. Listen to me. Ask me for wisdom. Let me be your GPS. Let me guide you through. Let me show you so you don't have to feel you're at a dead end. Right? It's very easy when we're young people and we're going through life and we're in relationships with our parents and we're evolving, you know, we're growing up and we feel like, you know, I want to do this myself. I want to do this myself. I want to follow my own way. I want to, you know, I want to try things out. And it's a normal way to feel. But there's also great wisdom when a person says, Lord, show me the way I should go. Right? Show me what I need to do. Right? Because it all begins with you. And suddenly when we do that and we submit our lives to God and we say, Lord, work in my life and show me where I should go and teach me how I should act and things like that, suddenly those relationships that were broken and seemingly so hard to deal with become free from anything like that at all. They become like the sun breaking through a dark cloud. And God gives us that imagery is also to be able to see those things. Where is the sun? It's always there. God is always there. You may not see him. Just like Peter said in one of his letters, he said, you don't see him, but you love him. Amen? And so we also have to say that God is the one that is going to show us the things that we can't see in those moments. And it seems like we're coming back and back, you know, back and forth today to relationships, but that's okay. Because it is all about relationships, isn't it? Right? We want the world to change, and so we need to bring God's love into the world. We need to teach them that, yes, there are going to be differences, but God can help us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, working as one perfectly to show us how these things are to be worked out. But we need to identify ourselves with him. Someone said he's the only God today. It's true. We need him because he's the only God and he is the only way for all of us. And so there's all these different things that God is putting into your heart today and my heart today together as a body of Christ so that we can live effectively in the world and not get down with it and not feel like it's going to be overwhelming, like those waves are meant to cover us with some kind of evil and there's going to be a covering of us with all this darkness and we're just going to drown. No, no, no. God is coming with those constant waves of righteousness and coming and slowly, just like some of the sediment that grows on our hearts, he is removing it with those waves. And it's coming off, and it's coming off, and it's coming off, and then there's a pearl. Look at your life like that. That's what the Bible teaches us. never give up, because God's love never gives up. And we're made of God, right? We're made from Him. We're made in His image. And so we take the things when we're going through suffering, just like here, it builds and builds. It's so beautiful. This passage is so encouraging. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Gosh, isn't that beautiful? We have peace with God for our sins through Jesus. He came to bring peace into our lives. Where would we be without Him? We'd be lost in our sins. We'd be separated from God the Father completely for all of our lives. But because Jesus came into the world, sent by the God of love, in love for us, we're saved from our sins. It's just like the guy for the Beach Boys was saying, right? We're so blessed in life. We have peace with God. There's no more of this tension. And that's what God does. He takes away that so that we can be free to glorify Him. Through Him also we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We are in grace, right? The church name, our church name, right? We want to slowly let the Holy Spirit come and point these things out to us so that we are appreciative and seeing who we are, that God chose that name for our church for a reason, so that we would be in His grace and that we would be a place where grace is found, His grace. Undeserved honor, undeserved forgiveness, undeserved things that we really deserve to die for. God comes and He exercises grace through His Son, who takes that upon Himself and gives us freedom. And not only that, but we have become daughters and sons, children of God, adopted. I was reading this week about that word adoptive, how important it is to see that not as something like it's some kind of a, like, disadvantage. It was meant at that time for a person to be brought into a place where they can grow and that they have attained a place of honor. Right? It's that kind of, and that is what we receive. We have inherited heaven. Beautiful. Beautiful things that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has given to us today. And we stand in this grace, and what do? We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, that there is a heaven and that there is a day coming where we will not be here in this place anymore. We will be in heaven, a place of glory, of light, God's presence everywhere. Those are the things that we sometimes can find hard to understand, but when we are in the Spirit and when we are looking at God each day, it preserves that truth in us that we are inheritors of eternal life and that God is not going to be just someone we talk about, but someone that we experience fully in heaven forever. And it begins now. And then he says, if that's not good enough, if that's not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. We've been talking about this in the ESL class too, looking at that. How can it be? But I have so much going on in my life that is, you know, I don't feel that joy. I don't feel that because there's a lot of things we have to face, right? But we need to also trust God when he says this. And when he says it, it's true. He brings us to the point where we have such a joy in our hearts, experiencing who God is and that he has saved us and given us such a love for one another, and also just for us, that even in times of suffering, if a person is persecuted for their faith in the world, for believing in Jesus, We rejoice. We rejoice in it. God rewards us, and he has a reward for us in heaven. And that is what we see in our Lord Jesus, that for the joy set before him, he went to the cross to die. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. So those suffering has a purpose. It has a purpose. Right? It doesn't seem to make sense because we're all trying to avoid it. But if we take a moment and we pray around this and we say, Lord, I'm really suffering and someone is treating me unkindly or something's going on, we bring it before the Lord and he helps us with that. He works in those situations, particularly because Jesus did as well. And it led him to a place where he was high and lifted up and reigning in heaven. And that endurance in us, we can take it, right? We can take this. We actually become stronger. The same person I was praying for yesterday was saying, I want to take the things that I've been going through and I want to help other people with the same situation in their life. That is endurance. It's endurance so that we effectively use what God has taught us and experienced in our life to help other people. And endurance produces character. It's so important for all of us, especially beginning at a young age. We had verses this week in Proverbs saying, get wisdom. Now, I would say that that would be on the top of my list if I were an educational system and saying to people, you know, what you really need in life is wisdom. Not knowledge. Wisdom is beyond knowledge. It's God, who is only wise, right? He's the only one who is wise, and he gives wisdom abundantly to those who ask for it. And so if you're in a place right now where you're feeling like you're not quite sure, and believe me, I can relate to that. If you just don't feel sure, you can depend on God giving you wisdom that is going to lead you in the right direction. He's going to come into that situation and bring something fruitful from it. So receive that word today. If you feel like you're kind of in this place, like a wilderness, or something's going on, and you're not quite sure, and you're a little bit scared, God meets you in those places. He comes in, and the thing, what you want to do is, at that point, is you say, Lord, teach me your wisdom. Okay? Character is built around that. It's around God. It's not building up a character so that we can teach each other what it means to be faithful and those kind of things. It can come in between human beings, but it really starts with God. A man of character is someone who's dependable, isn't it? A man of character is someone who is going to be slow to anger, isn't it? Isn't a man of character someone like Jesus, who is willing to die on a cross for all of mankind? That's character, and those are the things that are going to help us as human beings to grow closer to God, because we see that, and we accept that, and we want that. And that character, seeing Jesus and wanting to be like Jesus, produces hope. So you see the transition of what it, you know, I know many of you already know these words, and I've seen this passage many times. But we need to keep coming back to this because it's so important, right? It's so important to keep coming back and looking at these things and applying it. On this day, character produces hope. So it's these things. We go through problems, right? We go through suffering in our lives. Yes, we do, but there is a purpose behind it. There is a purpose because why? Because God the Father exists. And he has given you your life, and he has proved himself as being trustworthy by sending his own son into the world to die for you. So is it not true that he loves you and that he is going to do the best for you in that situation you're in? Yes. And the suffering produces endurance, and you're growing stronger and stronger, and endurance produces character want that more than an education in any other kind of field. You want the field of character, that godly character is going to go so far in your life. It's going to help you as a human being for yourself, and it's going to help you in relationship to other people. It's going to help you, should you ever get married one day, to have a character that is godly is going to be essential to your relationship to another person in that kind of a way, and to your children, should you have children, in your workplace with the coworkers, in your school with your teachers and things like that. There's all kinds of things that we do because we're sinful people that take away character, godly character. But we need God to help us so that we can be effective for him in this world. It speaks so loudly, right? But this hope, it comes at the end. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And this is where we come at the end of this passage here, and it's where we began on this Holy Trinity Day, right? The Holy Spirit coming and living in us. It was poured out at Pentecost, right? It was poured out into the hearts of the people, but it wasn't a one-time thing. It was a first appearance of it in that way, a revelation of God because he promised it that way, but it is a continuing wave-like pouring out into our souls, into our hearts, our entire life. So how do you feel about Holy Trinity Day and Father's Day today? I hope that God, through his word, can help invive us with his spirit so that we feel good about life, so that we feel the best thing that ever happened to me is when Jesus Christ was introduced to my life. And that is who I am, and that's what I want to be. I want to be his disciple. I want to be his follower. I want to serve him. He's my king. He's my savior. He's my all in all. All of these songs that we sing about, they're all pointing to that, right? We sing it, but let's live it. Just accept it. And help one another as the body of Christ to remind one another, to lift one another up. Not to break down, but to lift one another up, to bring the love of God into view in our lives where it's needed, and to bless one another. That is really what God wants us to remember today. And so let us give praise to Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with a hymn that speaks on this.